Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Memorial Day 2015 edition. Reply to the Presidential Weekly Address for Memorial Day, and we'll also be going over several other things. We thank you so much for joining us today on Memorial Day. We hope that everyone's having a great weekend and that we have taken the time and a moment to remember those that have lost their lives. I want to take the opportunity before we get started to just say that I certainly want to give a big shout out to the families that have lost loved ones, that have had to spend nights after nights after nights without their loved ones, whether it be their husbands, their sons, their daughters, their wives, their children, or their spouses, or their grandchildren, or whoever they were to them, the friends that lost loved ones as well. Certainly, it's been a year to remember from last Memorial Day to now. You know, the president gave a weekly address this week, and of course, in presidential fashion and in a very good taste, he gave a very nice presidential weekly address honoring those that have lost their lives defending this country. However, I can't help but feel like it's a little bit disingenuous whenever we have a president who seems to think that the only goal that was in mind in us invading Iraq and in us going to Afghanistan was to simply capture or kill Osama bin Laden. That was not our one and only goal. You see, he thinks that he did something there, and by no stretch of the imagination, he absolutely did. But you see, George W. Bush and others understood that just getting Osama bin Laden, while it would be a gut punch to Al-Qaeda, it would just allow room for someone else to stand up in their place. And so he's withdrawn us from Afghanistan. Of course, we're still there in a small form. He's withdrawn us from Iraq. Still, once again, we are there in a small form. We're not being allowed to put boots on the ground. We're not being allowed to defend what we have fought so hard for. When you see places like Ramadi falling, and when you see ISIS moving closer and closer and closer to Baghdad, places where American service members lost their lives trying to rout out these extremists, it is, I know it's been 14 years since 9/11 has happened, and I get that. And so I understand that there's a lot of youth, you know, that may be, you know, 19 years old, 18 years old, that may think that war needs to be done and over with. Well, you know what? There's not going to be a service member alive that doesn't agree that it'd be nice to come home and be with our family. But let me assure you something. There's also not a service member that I know that did not understand when they joined the military that they may have to go and defend the homeland. And you say, well, they're not defending the homeland. I know plenty of people who want to sit there and say that the military is not actually protecting our freedom right now because they're over in Iraq and Afghanistan. How shallow-minded do you have to be to not realize that whenever 9/11 happened, whenever the planes crashed into the towers, whenever the plane crashed into the Pentagon, whenever the plane crashed in the field in Pennsylvania, that was the Islamic extremism coming to our doorfront, coming to our homeland, and attacking us? Islamic extremism is not going to come in the form of a uniformed army that we can pick out of a lineup that will go, yeah, okay, that's the person. Islamic extremism, it's a fundamentalist. It's got to do with a culture that has been created that somehow believes that because they have believed in this extremism of the Quran that they can sit there and kill other people because they don't agree with them. There were people that felt bad for those that got killed in the Garland massacre. Yes, and I'm not talking about the American civilians. I'm talking about, which, of course, none of the American civilians ended up getting killed, but they weren't sorry for them. There was people that were sorry for the Islamic extremists that came there with the intent to kill, maim, and destroy our homeland. Oh, well, they should have known whenever they when they had that event that they would be antagonizing people, that they would be inspiring hate and all. Okay, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Ronald Reagan understood whenever he was president, and he gave a speech that I listened to earlier today, and I'll put it up on the Real American Man Facebook page later today. That's facebook.com/A Real American Man, and I'll put it up there today. And that video is absolutely inspiring. It's amazing because Ronald Reagan understood. Of course, he was not fighting Islamic extremism during that time. He was fighting the Soviet Union. He was fighting those that were it was, of course, you know, during the Cold War. And, man, I tell you what, I sure am glad that we had him as president during that period, because who knows what Obama would have done? Who knows how he would have bowed at Russia's feet, at the Soviet Union's feet, and just given up? And Ronald Reagan, he puts it perfectly, and he says, how many times are you going to appease the other people? How many times are you going to take a step back? How many times? Sorry about that. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, as usual. Apparently, it can't handle me screaming in the microphone. I just, you know, I'm getting on my soapbox here, but I just don't understand the liberal mindset. I get it. I don't want war. But I understand that peace comes at a cost, that you cannot just sit back and draw down the Iron Curtain and just ignore everything around us. We learned it during World War II with Pearl Harbor, and we learned it on 9/11, that we can ignore, you know, put fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 I'm not listening. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. We'll just ignore it. We'll just stick our heads in the sand like some ostriches and just ignore what's going on around us. That's not going to protect the homeland. Listen, I understand that we don't want government intervention. I understand that we don't want big government. I don't want big government either. But one of the responsibilities of the government is to protect its citizens. And Obama has failed at that policy, at foreign policy, at domestic issues, at securing our border, where it's believed, and I do not doubt, that ISIS is coming in through our southern border, through Texas and California. I believe it, that's happening today, because it's wide open. If we have illegal immigrants that are from Mexico getting in through that border, what's to say that ISIS is not also getting in? If an illegal immigrant can figure out how to get through the border, then I'm sure that ISIS can too. I wouldn't doubt it if they don't get attacked somehow. We have got to understand that if we just sit back and if we ignore this, it's not going to go away. It's like a dirty house. You can leave the house, you can lock the door behind you, and you can go away on a vacation for 3 weeks, and guess what's going to be there whenever you get back to your house? A dirty house. Obama keeps wanting to go away on his golf trips and ignore the problems in the world. And the reality of it is that's exactly the mentality, the environment that created 9/11. Liberals didn't want us doing anything. Oh, no, we can't. You know, NSA doesn't need to be happening. The Patriot Act doesn't need to be happening. And I understand there's some sketchy things in there, and I know that. I understand that. But there has got to be a level of trust built back up again with our government. There's got to be. And I don't know what needs to take place for that to happen, but there has got to be a level of trust built back up. Has to be. So I the president, he gave an awesome weekly address this week. It was very thoughtful. But he failed to mention, which naturally he wouldn't, the fact that he is creating an environment where we're going to have to send the next generation over into the exact same war zone to fight off the exact same enemy because Obama didn't have the intestinal fortitude, the gut, the heart, the courage to lead as president in through some of the most difficult challenges that a man will ever face, and that is war. I never will forget whenever I was in basic training, and I've told this story before. I don't think I've told it on air, but I love this experience that I had. Whenever I was in basic training in the Air Force at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, I never will forget this room, or well, it was actually outdoor area that we sat in, and next to the gas chambers. We had, obviously had to go through the gas chambers and learn what that was all about and experience that. And let me tell you, that was loads of fun. Loads of snot. Not to gross you out any, but that's what it created. Certainly was a fun experience. I remember, though, sitting there in my mop gear, right, my chemical, biological warfare gear, all donned up in my gear. And I remember sitting there waiting on my turn to go into the gas chamber, and there was this mural painted on the wall on the outside of this building, and I remember it said, "In times of peace, prepare for war." In times of peace, prepare for war. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to draw a line in the sand. We have to be willing to draw a line, and Obama has stated a line a bajillion times. He's done it with so many different instances where he said, "Okay, don't go do this, don't do it." You know, he kind of leads as a president like he expects law enforcement to do. Stop, or I'll say stop again. That's about how he does foreign diplomacy when it comes to challenging issues. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who we're going to have in the White House in 2016, but I can tell you this. It needs to be somebody that has courage. It needs to be somebody that has the intestinal fortitude to lead us forward into this century that we're going into, this decade that we're going into, and that will be able to be there. I mean, think about it. We're going to get to 2020, okay, during this next president's tenure. He's going to get in 2016, and 2020 will be 4 years. 2020, we've got to have a president that is willing to stand and draw a line in the sand and not turn back. And you know, I remember this interview, and I'm trying for the life of me to find it. And so I hate to even mention it on air. Maybe I dreamed it. I don't know, but I wouldn't doubt it if it's not true. So, and it's got to be somewhere. I know that I watched an interview, and it may be easy to find because there's no way that Osama bin Laden did very many interviews. But when Osama bin Laden was alive, he did an interview. He only did a few of them. He may have only done one. I'm trying to look into that right now. But in that interview, he was asked if he was – basically the question was, and I'm paraphrasing, he basically asked he was asked if he was nervous about going to war with America, if he was worried about America. And his response was profound. And we've got just a little under 90 seconds left, but his response was so profound. He stated that he was not concerned about America. And when asked why, he said because America cannot handle seeing their sons and their daughters coming back home in body bags. And he's right. He's absolutely right. But we have got to understand that there is a bigger mission at hand. Let me tell you something. If you're listening right now and you're thinking about joining the military, you've got to understand that your fate may rest in the president's hands, that you may have to go to war. It's a reality that every branch of the military has to face. We don't have very much time left, but I just want to leave you with this. There was a huge difference between Ronald Reagan and President Obama. President Ronald Reagan and President Obama, huge, stark difference. We need another Ronald Reagan in the White House. We need courage in the White House. We need intestinal fortitude in the White House. America is a great, great country, and it's time that we have a president that believes the same. Thank you very much. God bless you. I hope that everyone enjoys their Memorial Day. Do not forget the reason that you're out there today, hopefully off of work and being able to enjoy it. God bless you.